Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to this program. I'm glad you could join us, and I hope that it will be a blessing to you as you read and study the Word of God, because that's what this program is all about, teaching and preaching in the Bible. And today I'm going to be preaching from the first Psalm, Psalm 1, and the title of the message is The Great Division. The Great Division. I mentioned this in last week's program, how many people believe that the Bible is a book of unity, and it is unity for the people of God, the children of God, true believers. But the Bible is a great divider of people. In fact, if you go from Genesis to Revelation, you can see that the Bible, God's Word, divides the whole human race into two different groups of people. And we can describe these two different groups in many, many ways. But Psalm 1 sets the tone for this, sets the tone for all the Psalms, actually. And the great division there is between the godly and the ungodly, between the people of God and those who are still lost in their sins, many of whom will continue on and die in their sins. So that's the division. But I want to start by giving you a little theology lesson or doctrinal lesson concerning two words. And the reason I want to do that is, you know, some people, they'll read Psalm 1. I preached from this years ago, and I haven't done it in a long time, and that's what got this on my mind. The Psalm 1, listen to this. It says in verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." And you might have the word in your concordance in your Bible, the wicked, "nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." So here's the man, he says, that does not walk according to the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That represents man in every walk of life. He walks, he stands, he sits. It's kind of like the whole life, you know, it's just a way, a metaphor of describing man in every walk of life, every stage of life. And he starts off with the word blessed, all right? Now, what does it mean to be blessed? Well, a lot of people, in fact, a lot of the modern translations will translate the word blessed, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, as the word happy. And I certainly don't want to promote sadness or anything like that. I mean, you know, I want to be a happy person as a believer. I'm not always happy, though, but I'm always blessed. To be blessed means to be graced of God. It means you're a recipient and you're an object and a recipient of God's grace. Outside of being an object of God's grace and a recipient of God's grace, all there is cursed. Now, a cursed person can walk through this life and not know he's cursed. And he can be happy for a time. He can be happy through his life and even up unto death. But he's still cursed. And a blessed person can go through some strong trials that'll make him very sad. But he's still blessed. So what's the difference? Well, The doctrinal issues that I was going to talk to you about was, number one, the word justification. The godly person here that he's talking about is one who is justified before God. And then sanctification. The godly person is one who knows he's justified before God. Now, what is it to be justified? Well, justification is a legal matter, like in a court of law. And it has to do with a person, for example, who's accused of a crime, he's guilty. And therefore, the only way he can be justified is for that crime to be paid for. Well, the Bible teaches that all of us fell in Adam, ruined by the fall, and therefore deserve nothing but condemnation and death, and we're born in trespasses and sins. We're sinners. And if God were to ever give us what we deserve or what we've earned, it would be eternal damnation and death. That's what the Bible says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We miss the mark. And it tells us that we cannot get out of this mess of sin and deserving God's wrath by our works, not even our best efforts. Now, to be justified, as far as the Bible is concerned, is for a sinner to be forgiven of all their sins, exonerated, and to be declared just, righteous before God. How is that possible? And the only way is the way of God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, who stands as the surety of God's people, whom He gave Him before the foundation of the world, imputing their sins to them. In other words, it's like if I have a debt. And that's what the word iniquity kind of, it is a connotation of. I don't measure up. I owe more than I can pay. In fact, I can't even pay a penny. And so, like, for example, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And so the debt of my sins is charged to Christ. That's a legal matter. The guilt of my sin is charged to Christ. He became guilty not because of any sin that he did or thought or any sin infused or imparted to him or any corruption in him, based totally legally on the sins of his people imputed, charged, accounted to him. And what he did is he went to the cross and died for those sins and paid the debt in full. That's what he did. That's what the Bible means when it says our sins are bore away, washed away. It means Christ paid the debt in full. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. And if the debt's paid, then you're justified. God cannot charge them to you. If God charged our sins to Christ, He cannot charge them to us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who can condemn us? It's Christ that died. This is Romans 8:33 and 34. Christ died, yea, rather is risen again, seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. And so, those who are godly have been justified before God based on Christ's righteousness imputed to them. It was a righteousness that they themselves have no part in producing or accommodating or appropriating. It was totally an act of God. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. God's the great judge of all. This is His work. If I'm justified, that means I'm forgiven of all my sins on a just ground, the blood of Christ, the death of Christ. And I'm declared righteous before God on a just ground. The righteousness of Christ that He worked out in His obedience unto death is imputed, charged, accounted to me. Romans 4:6, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. Now, if I have been justified before God based upon Christ's righteousness imputed, then it is sure and certain that at some point in time, appointed by God and guided by Christ through the Holy Spirit, that I will be brought under the preaching of the gospel and hear and be born again by the Spirit, be given life. See, I'm spiritually dead by nature. I don't have spiritual ears and spiritual eyes to hear and see these things. And when I hear them and see them, I reject them. I don't think anything of it. But when the Holy Spirit comes in power, in the new birth, Christ said you must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. He told His disciples, blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. You've been given spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. When the Holy Spirit brings me under the preaching of the gospel and gives me life, a new heart, a new life, and gives me knowledge that I didn't have before, convicts me of my sin, convicts me of righteousness and judgment, and brings me to, by God-given faith, to Christ for all salvation, makes me a believer. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, not because of, but unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Then we become godly. And then we know about our justification. That's called sanctification of the Spirit, where the Spirit sets us apart in believing Christ, separates us from the world. Now that's what's being spoken of and described here in Psalm 1. Look at verse 1. Blessed is the man, graced, justified, sanctified by grace, is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, what is the counsel of the ungodly? Well, it's any way of salvation other than the right way, the way of God's grace, the way of Christ, the way of His suretyship, the way of imputation, the way of righteousness, the way of the cross. Whatever way you're walking in, whatever your ideas or your take on how sinners are saved, if it's not the way that God has laid down in His book, the Bible, which is the one way of Christ, Christ the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, He said. If it's not the way of God, it's the counsel of the ungodly. It may be a way of morality. It may be a way of religion. It may be a way of sincerity and charity. It may be a way somebody says, let's go out here and let's build an orphanage and house all the orphans. That's a good thing, isn't it? It is in man's eyes. But if you're looking to that to save you or make you righteous before God, it's the counsel of the ungodly. It's a false gospel. Salvation is not by works, no matter what the works are. Not even your believing. It's the way of God's grace. And so he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now the way of sinners is what I've just been describing here. You see, let's talk about that great division in another way. We are all sinners. All of us. If you're listening to me, if you're listening to me right now, living and breathing here, the Bible classifies you as a sinner. I'm a sinner. There's only two types of people. There's sinners lost in their sins, and there are sinners saved by grace. Now, some people will say, well, since I've been saved, I'm no longer a sinner because of places like this. And sometimes in the context of the Bible, the word sinners refers strictly to unbelievers. And I'm no longer an unbeliever. I'm a believer. But a believer is a sinner saved by grace. Now this is talking about unbelievers here. The person who's blessed is not standing in the way of sinners. The way of sinners is a way of salvation, a way of blessing that is apart and opposed to God's way. I was born in sin and dead in trespasses and sins, and I walked in the way of sinners before God saved me, before the Holy Spirit brought me under the gospel and gave me life. And then he says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Those who scorn God's way. To scorn something means that you do not place upon it the value that it deserves. It's like to disrespect. And anybody who does not believe the gospel, the true gospel, wherein the righteousness of God is revealed, wherein God tells us how He justifies the ungodly by imputing sin, the sins of His people to Christ, and imputing their righteousness to him, to that person, imputing Christ's righteousness to that person. A person who doesn't believe that and doesn't value that is a scorner. So if you're not in the counsel of the ungodly, the way of sinners, and the seed of the scornful, you're blessed. He says in verse 2, now this blessed man, he said his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now the law, that's the word of God. Now how in the world can a sinner delight in the law? The law says do and live, disobey and die. Well, there's only one way that I as a sinner can delight in the law, and that's to look at it in Christ. Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You see, the law demands perfect righteousness. Doesn't give me one. Doesn't show me how to make one other than do and live. The law demands perfect righteousness. Where am I going to find perfect righteousness? I find it only in Christ. I don't find it in me. I'm a believer. But my faith, I still struggle with the flesh. The flesh, which is sin within me, still corrupts and contaminates everything I think, say, and do. I pray to God, but my prayers sometimes are selfish. The only way my prayers are accepted with God is through the blood of Christ, my great high priest. I worship. Sometimes in worship, my mind wanders. You see what I'm saying? I'm a sinner. So where am I going to find the righteousness, the perfection of righteousness required by the law? Only in Christ. And therefore I can delight in the law because Christ is my substitute, my surety. He's my righteousness. And it says, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In the meditations of prayer, the meditations of thought. Look at verse 3. This blessed person shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit, his fruit in his season. The fruit of faith, the fruit of repentance, the fruit of perseverance, which is all by the grace of God. You see, these things are not the cause of our salvation and blessedness. They're the fruit of it. The cause is the sovereign grace of God and the sovereign love of God. The ground of it is the imputed righteousness of Christ, his blood and righteousness. The fruit of it is faith and repentance and perseverance. And it said, his leaf also shall not wither, shall not fade, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now that doesn't mean that everything he touches is going to turn to gold physically. But it means that whatever he does in worshiping and serving God will prosper. Why? Because there's merit in him? No, because of Christ. Because of the grace of God. Now here's the great division. Look at verse 4. He says, the ungodly are not so. The ungodly refers there to unbelievers. We're all unbelievers by nature, as I said. But if we've been justified before God based upon Christ's righteousness imputed, at some point in time, God's going to come with the Spirit and bring us under the gospel and bring us to Christ in the new birth. But those who are unbelievers, they cannot claim any of these blessings. They cannot rightfully claim. They may claim them, but that doesn't belong to them. You can't know that they belong to you until God brings you to Christ. So the ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. See, that's the opposite of the plush, living fruit. It's dead chaff. Verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now, sinners there refers to unbelievers. He's not saying that we're not sinners if we're saved, but he's separating there the great division. He's making this great division. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Well, what is the judgment all about? Well, God's going to, he's got a scale up there, and he's going to weigh your good works with your bad works. And then whichever one tips the scales, if your bad works tip the scales, you're going to hell. And if the good works tip it, you're going to... Now, is that what the Bible teaches? No. Somebody told me one time, said, well, what about in the book of Daniel where it says, "Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting." Well, my friend, by nature and by works, that's what we all are. The scales, you know what the balance is perfect righteousness. We don't have it by our works. So if he's going to weigh our works against righteousness, then my friend, we're goners. Do you know what the standard of judgment is? In the book of Acts, chapter 17, the Apostle Paul was given an opportunity to preach the gospel to philosophers, thinkers, and religionists in the city of Athens. You ever heard of Athens, Greece? That's the city of the philosophers. And in Acts 17, Paul the Apostle was given an opportunity to preach the gospel. Well, they weren't Jews. They weren't familiar with the Old Testament. So he starts with the God of creation, the God who created us all. You see, Paul didn't preach the God of Abraham. He didn't talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as he would to the Jews, because most of these Greeks had never heard of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he starts with the God of creation, and he brings it down to where every person is accountable to that God, and yet we are all sinners. And so God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. He says that in Acts 17:30. And then he says in verse 31 of Acts 17, he says this. He says, God has commanded all men everywhere to repent because God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath appointed, in that he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, who's that talking about? It's talking about Christ. And the assurance that Christ is the standard of judgment and his righteousness is the standard is that God raised him from the dead. So my only hope to stand at judgment, what does he say here? Therefore the ungodly shall not stand. They're going to fall. They're going to be pronounced guilty. If you go through this life and die in unbelief, when it comes to the judgment, you will fall. You have no way of justification. Your sins are charged to you, imputed to you. And God must pronounce wrath and condemnation and death upon all sinners to whom sin is imputed. You know, preachers today, they like to say, well, God condemns sin, or He condemns sin, but not the sinner. Now, let me tell you something. The ungodly shall not stand at the judgment. He doesn't say here the ungodliness will not stand. The ungodly, the person. God condemns sinners. Now, yes, he does condemn sin. But if you go through this life and live and die in unbelief of this gospel wherein the righteousness of God revealed, which is Christ, you'll stand before God on your own without a mediator, without a savior, without a surety, without a substitute, having your sins charged to you, and there will be no recourse but for God to pronounce judgment and hell and death upon you. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The righteous stand before God not in their works, but in Christ, washed in His blood, clothed in His righteousness. Now, clothed is just a metaphorical way of talking about Christ's righteousness imputed to them. They're justified. They're forgiven. Paul describes it in Philippians chapter 3 when he says that I want to know Him, Christ. I want to know Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. I want to be found in Christ. When I stand before God at judgment, I don't want to stand there on my own, pleading my own merits. I have none. But I want to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of, the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, which I receive by faith. That's Philippians chapter 3. Well, look at verse 6. He says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." That word knoweth there, means that God has an intimate, saving, loving knowledge of the way. It doesn't mean that God is just aware of their names, you know. When Christ spoke of the false preachers in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, and who got up and proclaimed that they had preached and cast out demons and done many wonderful works in His name. In other words, they were pleading what they thought God had enabled them to do as their righteousness. And Christ said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." Doesn't mean He didn't know who they were. Doesn't mean He wasn't aware of who they were and what they were doing. It means that He didn't know them in grace, in love, in salvation, in election. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous. It's the way that He made. It's the way of His grace. It's the way of Christ. It's the way of the cross, the way of the blood, the way of the death of Christ. It's the way of righteousness that comes by virtue of God's grace through Christ, which is imputed to His people, and from which they have life and inner glory. Romans 5:21, "As sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Not by our works. And so He says, "The way of the ungodly shall perish." The Bible says the Lord knows them that are His. He gave them to Christ. Their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. That's the Lamb slain. And it's all about Christ, you see. Godliness and ungodliness, that great division, can be defined as people stand in relation to Christ. Do you believe in Him and rest in Him and love Him and follow Him by the grace of God? Or do you scorn Him? Go about life as if it doesn't matter? Well, I hope not. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.